The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 25th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Well, what a beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County, and I have a very special guest with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Andrea Hall Miller, PhD, RN, and MA, and freelance writer. Andrea is also the Director of Community Engagement for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. We'll be talking about her journey from nurse to author. I know this is going to be a very lively and informative interview. Well, I have a few announcements here. You want to go ahead and get Anna Diaz on the phone? We're going to have Anna Diaz on the phone, and she's going to be giving us a special announcement about a resolution that is going to be happening at the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. I'm very, very excited and very, very proud of the people that put all this together. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone who helped me celebrate my birthday. I mean, it's just amazing. It made me feel so warm and fuzzy when I saw all the happy birthdays on Facebook. You know, a shout out to Alicia Sanchez and everyone at the station here. After the show, they surprised me with cupcakes and candles and flowers. Oh, I had dinner with my family. I was really touched when I received a special handmade birthday card from my great-granddaughter, Satori. And you know how creative they are at 5 years old, my God. I found out she loves giraffes, and she told me about, she said that my animal was my giraffe on my birthday. And I said, oh, my goodness. And I said, you know, I'm going to have Dr. Hall in here this morning, and we're going to be talking about metaphysics. And I said to myself, I'm going to go and look and see what the heck does giraffe mean. Well, I looked it up, and I thought, this is amazing. Wow, it's an African-American myth and folklore. The giraffe is believed to possess mystical and magical powers. I didn't even know that. It is seen as a messenger between humans and the spirits, capable of accepting realms beyond the reach of ordinary creatures. The giraffe is also associated with the power of intuition and the ability to see things from a higher perspective. Well, that's quite an honor, Satori, to give your great-grandmother that honor. So I am now called myself, it's year of the dragon for me, but I'm going to call myself, this is the year of the giraffe. And it's so interesting. Ken brought something very interesting up. My great-granddaughter is going to be very tall, and I'm wondering if that's why she identifies with the giraffe. Well, I want to do a big shout out to the Sonoma County National Organization for Women Now. Christine Lang of the NAACP did a fabulous presentation. Just fabulous. I love Kirsten. I mean, I think that she has brought the NAACP in our community up to a new level, and I just want to do a big shout out for her. And if folks want to see the presentation, she talks a lot about, you know, February was Black History Month, and she talks about a lot about the different women that were definitely influenced her. And of course, one of the greatest ones of all she's just amazing. That's all I can say. And she did a whole presentation, I believe, on Ida B. Wells. And one of the things about Ida B. Wells, the reason I bring her up all the time is because she has given me courage. You know, I'm publishing, there's going to be an article in the Peace Press that I'm a little bit nervous about the art show that I brought in on the children of Gaza. And I'm really nervous, like all of a sudden, like, what are people going to think about me? Or, you know, did I do the right thing? Is someone going to attack me? And, you know, I think of Ida. And I think of her going into the areas where there was lynching going on and such hatred and racism. And yet she went in, wrote her stories and moved out and brought brought many, many things to the attention of people, which I think is very amazing. You know, speaking of Ida B. Wells, you know, every once in a while, what I do is I go in and I say to myself, what's special about today? Well, today, actually, this is going to be part of our history is our strength. And why do I say our history is our strength? It's because if we know the past, we know the rights of the past, the wrongs of the past, we can get better at it or we can make corrections. And this is a sad day for me. You know, when I read it, I thought to myself, wait a minute, I cannot believe this happened. Well, today is International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. And I'm going to read this. Just read it. International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade is a United States International Observance a Day designated in 2007 to be marked on the 25th of March every year. The day honors and remembers those who suffered and died as a consequence of the transatlantic trade. You know, when you think about it, slavery, I mean, it just gives me the creeps, which was called the worst violation of human rights in history, in which over 400 years, more than 15 million men, women, and children were victims. Now, why is it important to remember this? Because we have to look at people and say, my goodness, you've come a long way. And even our country's come a long way. Even though we still have racism tendencies, at least we've come to the place where there's no slavery around us. And women and men can speak out. And I want to do a shout out, you know, to the black women that I know, because they're the most powerful people in the world. The way they get things done is just amazing. So it's an honor to honor this particular thing, and it was first observed in 2008 with the theme Breaking the Silence, Least We Forget. And what are they doing? They're trying to ban all the books that bring this forward because, oh, our children are going to feel so bad about it. No. Our children need to know about the past, need to know the mistakes that we made, need to know where we are and how we can improve ourselves. There's no need to feel bad. If you teach it right, I remember when I was in Los Angeles City College and I was in the Native American class, and the teacher was telling us about the Native Americans. They wrapped him in blankets of smallpox. And I mumbled out, I thought the Indians were the bad guys. And my teacher comes up to me and says, well, I was Miss Pine at the time. What makes you think that? Well, that's what it was said on television. Well, if I wasn't in that class learning about the Native American history and what happened, I never would have known that. And I never could have looked up at that teacher and say, you know something, I wasn't there, I didn't do anything, but let me tell you something, I'm really sorry it happened, and it really in the deepest part of me, especially when I know that how it affected women and children. So it's very important, and I love this, breaking the silence, least we forget. You know, there's a song by Ellen Bookstill, By My Silence, I Give My Consent. And I don't give my consent to this kind of thing. I don't give my consent to racism or anti-Semitism or wars or any of those things. Well, that's a lot to think about. So that's what Women's Spaces is all about. Well, joining me on the phone, we're doing this really quick, is one of my favorite people. I'm telling you, are you there, Anna Diaz?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm right here.
Well, I'm really happy to have you. Anna Diaz, who is a member of the Commission on the Status of Women, and she was voted and elected. My goodness. I remember when I first met her, she's a young, beautiful woman. She's a trustee on the board of the board of directors for the Roseland School District in Santa Rosa. Well, welcome, Anna. Welcome to Women's Spaces. And I understand tomorrow at the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, they're issuing a special gold resolution acknowledging the farm workers here in Sonoma County. Can you tell us a little bit about that, why that's important and why it's happening?
Yes, so U.S. Congress fortunately passed a National Farm Worker Week. So if you go on the state's website and you type in essential workers, farm workers come out. You know, Sonoma County, we talk about how great the wine is and, you know, people go and take, you know, marriage photos and engagement photos next to the vineyards. But no one ever talks about the people who are bending their backs over and, you know, having future damage with their fingers, who are the farm workers. So, you know, I think that farm worker awareness is truly important, and especially in this county, just because we live amongst so many community members who are farm workers today, especially where I reside and I've always resided in Roseland.
Well, you know, it's real interesting, Anna. You know, nothing happens by, oh, it's just going to happen. I know there's usually a body of people pushing this. And who was behind all this? And why do you think it's really important that the community know about the farm workers and not only know about them, but honor them in this way?
Well, I could honestly say that nobody really pushed for this. You know, I was going through the state website and I found it, and I found that the U.S. Congress had already passed it. So then I contacted Zeke Guzman, who's he is actually a brother to one of the founders of KBBF, and that actually helped, you know, put up the original building and the first you know, national antenna for broadcasting. And he has a lot of history here. And you know how I met him is that I knew him as a longtime farm worker advocate who he actually knew Cesar Chavez. He would actually bring Cesar Chavez to come out to like UC Berkeley to speak. Yeah, so I brought the idea to him, and
what was the name, Anna? I missed it.
Zeke Guzman, and he is the brother of Javier Guzman.
Oh, I just love him. Oh, he's just, he's a powerhouse. Let me tell you something. We just met him at the, he was just at a party. We had a special party for KBBF celebrating, you know, the 50 years and all the different things that happened. And he was there. So an amazing man. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So, so I brought the idea forward to Mr. Guzman, and, you know, he loved it. And I told him, like, you know, let me put this in with HR, and we could go ahead and see what happens. So fortunately, HR from the county ended up sending it forward for approval with the board. Well, I'm sorry, with the chair, who is Mr. David Rabbit. And, you know, it came back that it was approved. So then I asked the women, the Commission on the Status of Women, if they would like to collaborate. And, you know, so it just wasn't me. It was, you know, the woman who also, the woman who also think of the women who are in the fields as well, you know, just to represent them and their insights. So I brought it over for an agenda approval because it had to be approved. And fortunately, everybody loved the idea. So they approved that, and they also approved of the speech that I will be stating in front of the Board of Supervisors and anyone in the chambers, along with Mr. Zeke Guzman.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Anna. You said something that was not only me, but I want to credit you with two things. Number one, you read. You know, as a public official, it's so important to read, and that I admire you, how you're always on top of things. And the second thing is you gathered. You went, you talked to people, you said, let's do this. Is it possible? You know, you asked, you know, and when you ask, you receive, and now you've come to this place. Well, we're coming there. Like I told you, this was going to be a very, very short segment. So why don't you just tell the folks where it's going to be? I have the address here. It's at the Board of Supervisors at 575 Administration Drive. But talk a little bit about where it's going to be and what time and who should show up and why you think it's important that people show up.
Yeah, so the most important people to show up and be present are our past and current farm workers. More than anything, you know, we talk about how essential and how important they were during the fires and during, you know, COVID-19, but I don't think that they really receive that recognition. So that's why this is super important. I mean, you know, as a trustee for my school district, I realized that, and, you know, somebody that worked for family law for over 5 years, I realized that government officials and even judges and attorneys and district attorneys and, you know, public defenders, they get Cesar Chavez Day off. But unfortunately, our farm workers still do not. So this is for them. And I mean, anybody that's a farm worker advocate, anyone that puts their heart and their mind out for these farm workers and, you know, some way, somehow advocating for them, even if that means you're working at a medical clinic and you're serving them, even if that means that you're, you know, working at a restaurant and you think yourself as a farm worker advocate, please do come. So it's going to be for this upcoming Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors Chambers. And everybody always asks, where is it at? When you go towards county, so like where the Sonoma County Court or County Jail or the Sheriff's Department is, you're passing in and out, and it's that big Snoopy statue that's right in the front. So that's the Sonoma County Chambers, and it will be at 1:30 on Tuesday.
Well, Anna Diaz, I want to really thank you. And do you have a website or an email if people have anything, if they want to support you? I mean, you're doing a wonderful job in the Roseland area, and you're so determined, and you really keep up on things. And I really appreciated you calling me to tell me about this so we can do this announcement. So how about a website or an email or how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they could get a hold on me by email. I have a district email, but I use my community email more. So it's pretty easy. It's Anna Diaz, so A-N-A-D-I-A-Z, and then the word for, so F-O-R, Roseland, @gmail.com. And I mean, thank you. Thank you for having me on here today. You know, I want to acknowledge all the farm workers. I'm a product of a farm worker. My grandfather came through the Barcero program many years ago. So, you know, this is for them.
Well, Anna Diaz, thank you, and thank you for your commitment to the community, and thank you for being on Women's Spaces and letting us know about that.
Yeah, of course. Okay, thank you. Have a great Monday.
Thank you, my friend. Well, folks, just a little reminder, that's going to be tomorrow. That's Tuesday, March 26th at the Board of Supervisors Chambers. That's at 575 Administration Drive, room 102A. And, you know, they check you when you come in, and it's room 102A, and it's going to be at 1:30, and it's going to be a special resolution for the farm workers here in Sonoma County. Very much deserved. You know, I remember way back when they first called, I mean, way back with Cesar Chavez, called for a grape strike, you know, not to buy crepes because the farm workers, they were just starting to unionize. And I thought to myself at that time, I didn't even know there were farm workers. So it's just an honor to honor them tomorrow. So be there and enjoy it and praise them and thank them. I mean, they put food on our tables, and we must never forget about that. Well, you know, it's the last Monday of the month, and we usually do the pledge, but, you know, we really have a packed show, so I'm just going to say the pledge really quickly, and then we're going to take a musical break. So here's the pledge, and like I say every month at the last Monday of the month when we do the pledge, you know, this is very important. Women need to stand up. You know, there's a repeat this song over and over. There's a song called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." You know, you cannot give your consent, especially as women. We need to stand up for the children of the war, call for an end to war, call to an end to all this other stuff. I mean, the nerve of the man that's running for president to say he's going to cut Social Security for seniors, he's going to cut school, all this other stuff. No, we need to enhance our programs. We need to take care of our people. We need to stop warring with one another. So those are important things to think about. So here's the pledge really quickly. And just think about each word I'm saying. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And if you wonder who your higher power is, just look at those clouds that are in the sky. I mean, we live in a great, great, great mystical mystery universe. And once you get the idea that, oh, my goodness, we're on the planet in the middle of nowhere, and there's an opportunity for all of us to do good for one another. You know, the old saying, do unto others as you'll have to do unto them. Hey, gang, that's the giraffe speaking. That's going to be my totem for the whole year, Elaine the giraffe with her long neck. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break. And I love this song. And why do I love it? It's called Women Rock the World, and it's by Betsy. It's by Earth Mama. First of all, I'm in love with Earth Mama. I think she writes some of the greatest songs in the world. She's the one who wrote Standing on the Shoulders, and we are definitely standing on the shoulders of many, many people. But women rock the world. Look, we just talked to young Anna Diaz. I mean, this woman is just, she's a young woman. She's in her late, in her, I think, middle 20s and doing a phenomenal job in the Roseland District. You know, I have sitting across from me, my guest coming up that we're going to do a an interview with is Dr. Andrea Hall Miller. She has a PhD, an RN, and an MA. Look at the credentials. Here we're celebrating the idea of slavery and the slave trade. And here we are in 2024, an African-American woman with all these beautiful credentials against her name, when at one time African-American women were not allowed to read. What an honor to have her in the studio. So that's what I mean. And look at Ida B. Wells, like I said, and Kirsten Lang at NAACP. These are women that are rocking the world. And my dear, dear friend, Nancy Rogers, who I can't believe she's not even 5 feet tall, and she's got the most impressive nature. And she, when she speaks out, people really listen. And you have to look at these women and say, wow, we've come a long way, baby, but we certainly have a long way to go. But at least we have the consciousness and the language to realize that things are changing and they have to change even more. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Women Rock the World, sung by Earth Mama.
The power feminine gives birth to a song.
Rock the world. You better believe it. You know, we're here to stay. Hey, you know something? Without us, none of you would be here. Just think about that. I mean, we are. We hold the whole mystery of the universe in our bodies. How dare them put us in second place? Anyway, for you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, the members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest joining me in the studio, Dr. Andrea Hall, registered nurse, book author, freelance writer, heart math trainer. My goodness. Welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces, Dr. Hall. Is it okay if I call you Andrea?
Please call me Andrea.
Oh, good.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no. You know, come about this far to the microphone. You know, that's it. That's it. Well, welcome, you know, and I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
You know, I have the women before they come on. I have them send me 5 questions and also their bios. And I was really impressed with this bio, Andrea, I have to tell you. Andrea Hall is the youngest of 12 children. She was born and raised in Santa Rosa, where her parents had moved from San Francisco to pastor a church. Her earliest memories include being in church for many hours and following her mother, also a nurse, who inspired her to become a nurse. In school, Andrea's greatest interests were in science, sociology, health, and physical education. Her continued studies in all of them resulted in degrees and licenses in nursing, multicultural studies, metaphysics, and physical fitness. Andrea's most recent interests lie in writing about her life experience. Therefore, in her works of fiction, you'll find elements of all she loves, including nursing, spirituality, love, and family. She recently retired from her nursing career and is looking forward to enjoying the adventure in the next phase of her life. Well, I can relate to that, Andrea. Andrea is the proud author of 2 books, which we'll be talking about, and she also serves as the community engagement coordinator for the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. And that's where we met. So welcome, Andrea. Welcome. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You know, it's really interesting doing research in you. I found that the following statement about you, I believe, was a description, perhaps, of your life. And you say, from scrubs to scripts, a nurse's journey into metaphysical writing with Dr. Andrea Hall. Well, what does that mean? Give us, what is that? It's quite an adventure. I mean, I love the metaphysics part. I mean, like I brought the giraffe in today, but tell us, what does that mean?
Well, I was on a podcast with Charlene Johnson. She's a nurse leader that I met in Kaiser, and she runs a podcast. And her son is the one who came up with that caption. He edits the work for her. And so after listening to it, he created that from scrubs to scripts.
So they introduced you, and that was part of the introduction, and then you picked it up. Well, how does the metaphysical come into it? What do you mean by metaphysical? What does that mean?
I didn't create the scrubs to scripts. Her son did, and that's when I first saw it, was when they entitled that piece, Scrubs to Scripts. You asked me a question about what do I mean by metaphysical? Meta means beyond, above and beyond. So metaphysical is all that is above and beyond that which is physical. And so, in other words, spiritual. But truly, everything's spiritual. You know, the very fact that we're sitting here and I'm making sounds and you're understanding them and we're breathing and so many processes are happening in our bodies, which are miracles themselves. So I really see everything in the world as being metaphysical. Everything is spiritual. We're just housed in this physical body.
Well, they say is you're having a spiritual experience in this physical body,
yes,
which is kind of interesting. But also, you know, when I look at the clouds, when I come in and I see those clouds, I mean, they're so mysterious to me. And then I think to myself, my God, we even have an airplane. I mean, if that isn't metaphysical, the fact that we defy gravity that way, that we can fly like a bird in the air, it is just amazing. Well, how did you get into the metaphysical aspect? I mean, with all your writing and what does that mean to you?
Well, I was born into a religious family. You know, I can say they were spiritual as well as religious. But with my father being a pastor and my mom the first lady, I always knew about church and God and religion and spirituality. And I went to a Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal. And so it had like the holiness or hell doctrine, to where we were not only talked about the goodness of God, but also the punishment of hell. And as much as I loved God, that whole punishment of hell thing and the devil scared me to death as a kid, you know. And I first was introduced to the concept of not having hell when one of my sisters started studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said, do you know that we're not going to go to hell? And it was just, I was so relieved and happy. So I studied with them for a while. But excuse me, I needed more than the structure of that religion. And I was listening to someone on Facebook once, and he was talking about the Bible and God in such a rich, fulfilling, deep way. And I'm like, what is this? He says, it's metaphysics. And that's where I first heard the word. And I joined a metaphysical Bible study and started learning about God as truly love. You know, we always said God is love. Well, the Bible says God is love. And we always said God is good all the time. Yes, all the time God is good. But I couldn't line that up with the part about, but if you're not good enough, you're going to go to hell. So with metaphysics, we eliminated all that. You know, we see it more as a metaphorical and parables, and it's just not...
Like the great mystery.
Yeah,
it's like the way I look at metaphysics. Uh-huh. And another thing I noticed that you study with unity.
Yes.
And I also have studied for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. I actually studied for a while to be a minister, but I just felt that was not my calling, although I think sometimes this radio show is kind of a ministry.
I totally agree with you. You are a minister. A minister is not a title, you know, or a certificate. It's who you are, you know, and you and Ken both are just the most wonderful ministers in the community.
Oh, thank you. I mean, thank you. But it is, but you know, like I think we lose sight, you know, there's so much fear around heaven and hell. We lose mm-hmm. sight of the fact that we do live in this mystical universe, you know, that we're just the fact that we can walk on the edge of the planet, you know, we don't realize when we drive our cars, we're actually driving on the edge of a planet, and that is the metaphysical of it. Mm-hmm. And some people get freaked out about it. I remember when I first learned about it, I thought, wow, you know, they say even when you become an astronomer, sometimes you can go a little bit flippo when you realize how vast the universe really, really is. Well, you know, from the information you called, you developed a program. You were an RN. You've retired. I know you're very excited about that. But you also, at present, I believe this is happening, that you've developed this program called Mind Body Spirit Nursery and pain processing therapy. What is that all about? And is this your new career, or what you're looking forward to the future? I mean, what is that all about?
It's an extension. I am still a nurse. I've been in nursing since I was 16, you know, and I've gone up the ranks from a nurse's aide, LVN, RN, then starting the advanced degrees. So I that's not that I left nursing. I'm doing all of my favorite parts of nursing. So I was a NICU nurse, newborn ICU, and I was an educator for a while. So I taught heart math and caring science and all sorts of courses.
What's heart math?
Heart math. That's one of my favorite things. And it's a scientifically based process where you connect with your heart and you are able to regulate through breathing and being in touch with your heart, and basically it's like a meditation and a visualization in some of the exercises. And in doing so, you increase your level of resilience. You know, especially, you know, it was very helpful to all of us during the fires here in Sonoma County. And it's a way of regulating your nervous system and improving your mindset. And it's shown to improve performance in athletes, in individuals. Anybody and everybody can use it. You can be out on the road and traffic is horrible, but you have the power within to, like, do your heart focus, breathe in, regulate yourself, and just be more resilient to the outcomes around. And part of the caring science is similar to where when the world is in turmoil around you, you have what Dr. Jean Watson, the nursing theorist, calls equanimity. And it's like being that calm in the middle of the storm. Self-regulation, basically.
Well, you know, it's like, to me, when I hear one of the things when I studied with Unity that was a mind-opener for me, and it took me years to really understand and apply it, which was mind over body. You know, like you have a mindset. I remember I was reading Viktor Frankl's Logos Therapy about people in the Holocaust, for example, that even in the most horrible situations, I mean, God knows we don't want to be there, But even in the most horrible situations, you can control your mind. You can control your thoughts. I know for myself, every once in a while, Ken will hear, he'll say, "What did you say?" I said, "I was just telling myself to shut up." You know, just shut up and be quiet. Well, that's very, 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 very interesting. Well, we're going to take a little musical break right now. And the song that I'm going to play is going to, how could anyone ever tell you? And one of the things about metaphysics and one of the things about the whole goal of Women's Spaces is to align people with the truth about themselves, that they really are beautiful spirits. They can make up their mind to move forward and do positive things in the time of the worst time. And right now, we're in a time where we have to have more spirituality and more understanding. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your books and talk a little bit more about your metaphysics. And also, this song is dedicated to all the women out there. You know, they're taking away our right to choose. They're taking away all kinds of different things. But you know something? You're a beautiful spirit, and you have to stand up. You have to stand up and be counted. So let's go ahead, Ken, and play that song.
Oh, could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than? Your loving is a miracle. How deeply you're connected to my soul. How could anyone ever tell you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul.
You are anything less than beautiful. Oh, I love that line. I love singing. I think I'm a frustrated singer. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm in conversation with Dr. Andrea Hall Miller, who is an author, and we are going to talk about her books. We just had a wonderful conversation about metaphysics, and now we're going to talk about her. She's written two books, and the first book she wrote, I believe, was God Regardless, A Metaphysical Love Story, and I Got You, A Metaphysical Love Story. Two wonderful books. Well, you know, here you are, you're still involved in nursing of healing in some levels, and you're also part of the Chamber of Commerce, which I know is a whole new role for you. You know, really you're stretching yourself in that area. So how did you get the idea of writing now and the confidence, and not only the confidence, but the confidence that put the word God and metaphysical in there? I mean, those are two pretty powerful things that most people kind of shy away from.
Well, the title of the book is actually Good Regardless, A Metaphysical Love Story.
Oh, mm-hmm. Excuse me.
No problem. Because my sister, Deborah, she's a very spiritual person. She always writes good as God. She'll write capital G, capital O, and then a little O, and then a big D. And so she always has God in the fore, and God is good. So it's the same to me, you know. But what... the question was, how did I end up putting that together like that?
And the metaphysics, mm-hmm, of it.
Well, I'll always be a nurse. You know, my license is still active, so I still see my nursing as a ministry. And with the metaphysical part, I told you how I was introduced to it, and it just spoke to me in a way that brought me closer to God than I ever was, you know, when I was practicing my relationship with God as a religion. When I came to know God and practice spirituality and have a relationship with God on a deeper level, that's when I got into metaphysics. That's how I see it. And because I was a newborn ICU nurse, I was told earlier in writing classes to write about what you know, you know, and so that's why I wrote about my protagonist being a nurse and a metaphysician. And she helps people, not in a real overt way, to understand the love of God, but she's not preaching at people, but she's just sharing who she is, and by that people resonate with it in the book. And you asked me about Angelo when I came in. His mom is one of the people that she blesses with, you know, her.
Which book was that in?
That's the first one, Good Regardless, A Metaphysical Love Story, where I introduce her.
So what was her thing you gave me a chapter, I read it, and I was sitting, here was this young baby born to a mother who was addicted with drugs, and you got involved with it. So how did that evolve? What happened? Talk about that a little bit.
A young woman said to her, because she had, you know, a past history of drug use and other things in her life that she felt were going to take her to hell, because she had heard that living the way she lives, people end up in hell. And so she wanted to give her baby away. And she said, because I'm going to hell, I don't want him to follow me into hell too. And that's when my protagonist, Aisha, explained to her, no, I don't believe that way, and explained her perspective. Not as though one religion is wrong and another one is right, but here's my perspective. This is what we believe. And the young woman resonated with it so much that she ended up going further with her on a metaphysical journey.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because when I think about my own child, I have one daughter, and I have two grandchildren, and now two great-grandchildren. And I ended up, when my daughter was planned, but I ended up, my whole life just got destroyed, and I ended up as a single mother. And I felt the same way. You know, when I was reading that aspect of it, it really brought back memories of me. And then I found a book called Key to Yourself by Dr. Venice Budworth. And it was that metaphysical meaning of a higher power, of God, however you want to put it. But just the knowledge that we live in a spiritual universe and that we have value. And the key is really to know ourselves. You know, and it's interesting, because when even, you know, for the Christian people out there listening, you know, Jesus said something so beautiful when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the metaphysics is loving yourself. You can't love your neighbor until you know who you are. And that's what it sounded like when I was reading about the passage, when your protagonist starts talking to her about keeping her baby. And also, just another sidetrack, is because I was able to raise her on a single level, coming from a real negative aspect of it, I grew. She became my inspiration, because I had something to love and be responsible for. So I think, is that what you were kind of moving with that story?
That's part of it, and that's part of nursing too. One of my favorite nursing instructors said to us, and it's not a certain field or anything, this is just a physical and spiritual truth of who we are. You have to love yourself and take good care of yourself before you can love others and take good care of others. So that is one of the points that I'm making in the book. And I like the analogy of filling your own cup first, your teacup. If you imagine a teacup sitting on a saucer, if your cup is empty, you can't pour from your saucer. So your cup has to be full and overflow. And you pour from your saucer and keep your cup full.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about it. I only read one chapter, and I haven't even had a chance to read the second in the second book. But in reading this chapter, as I'm going through, what happened? I mean, there's a curiosity there that you help create. So it kind of helps your, you know, your reader move along. I notice in my own writing is you tell a story, and as you tell the story, you know, you get more and more involved about it. Well, you know, we're coming pretty much to the end of the segment. We still have plenty of time, but the thing is that it's interesting that you call your stories metaphysical love stories. Now, again, the word metaphysical, and then the idea of being in love on a metaphysical level. You know, next week is going to be April Fool's Day, and that's Ken and I's anniversary. And we ended up in a workshop through circumstances that just, when you tell the story about it, how in the heck we even got together was amazing. And I look at that as kind of a metaphysical. There's something that's happening in the universe. It's just like my great-granddaughter sending me the giraffe. You know, there's something to remind you. You know, here I'm having a conversation with you, and she sends me this totem that I don't even know is a totem. So talk about how that integrates in your story, what you mean by metaphysical love.
Okay. I will, but one thing I want to say, because you asked me this question and I didn't answer it, is how I got into writing. And it was because, you know, I am the youngest of 12, and in the middle of our 12, we have a beautiful set of identical twins, Brenda and Linda. And they wrote when I was a child. So I'm guessing they must have been 12, 13. Anyway, they were teenagers, and they would write together on a typewriter. One would be speaking, and another one would say, oh, and then, you know, so they were like telling the story together. And I would be on the bunk so enraptured in their stories. They'd pull the paper off of the typewriter and I'd read the page, and then they'd do it, you know. So that's how I got into writing. I copied them. Okay. And then you were asking me about the metaphysical and the love piece.
But it's very interesting. You know, my father was an identical twin.
Oh.
And twins have a way of just like what you're talking about. That in itself is a metaphysical experience, because you cannot understand it. They have a thing on Facebook, by the way, where when twins are even born, they start talking to each other right away. So that's an amazing part of your story. Well, so go ahead and continue. I'm interested in how you integrate love on the metaphysical level.
I love love. I love love stories. I used to be one of those kids who would read all the Harlequin romance books. And
my Uncle Murray got me a prescription to a magazine called True Love.
Yeah, we'd share them all. So I always had a stack of those Harlequin romances. So of course I wanted to write about love, because it's my favorite thing. I mean, love is so great. And I also feel the same way about metaphysics. I really believe everything's metaphysical. Anything you talk about, you can relate it to it. So everything is spiritual. One of my favorite things is like watching the video of our birth, the human being's birth, starting out, you know, with the sperm and the egg meeting, and then you watch the whole thing of our bodies multiplying into cells and heart and lung and liver cells differentiate. What a miracle. It is all such a miracle. And so I wanted to incorporate that into it. I wanted to teach about metaphysics in a way that wasn't like a Bible thumping, this is the way it is. Because one thing that I love about Unity and New Thought is you don't have to believe anything. You know, if it doesn't work for you, don't take it. You know, take what works for you. And the goodness of God, the love of God, all the positivity and the oneness, being one with God, is what works for me. And since nobody can really prove what religion is right or wrong or what your philosophy is, you might as well choose the one that works best for you, the one that resonates truth for you. So,
well, you know, when you say a miracle, it's not only a miracle, it is such a mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, you know, when you're a mother, you're so wound up, you're not paying attention. Oh, yes, it's great that they take their first steps. Then when you're a grandmother, you're still involved, you know, and you really say, oh, wow, now they're 6 months old. How did that happen? But when you become a great-grandmother, all of a sudden you become the true observer. You know, you really begin to see the miracle. Like, nobody told her how to crawl. Nobody told her how to sit up. You know, and nobody told her how to talk. She's just imitating your words, but it's so this divine mystery that we live in is so special. You know, and it's the same thing with the daffodils. Like, you know, when you go to the flowers, they come out every year. Well, where do they go? You know, where do they go before they come out? You know, it's all this thing. And then you're incorporating it with love, which is such a divine feeling. Because, you know, I'm sure when you first, the last name is Miller also. I'm sure when you first met your husband, there was that love, you know. It's like when I first met Ken, it's that mystery. Why this person?
Love is so powerful, the most powerful force in the universe. You know, my ex-husband's last name is Miller, so I often go by Dr. Andrea Hall. But still, of course, you know, of course, I loved him. You know, I still love him as a person, and every love story is special and unique and deep. And I don't throw anybody away.
Yeah, it's kind of
love is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a mystery. Why are we sitting here? You know, you and I, how do we end up coming together and becoming friends? You know, there's just attractions that happen that we don't understand, and we're living if we can just understand this. Well, in looking at your books, you know, I understand your motivation, but what, when if someone buys your book and they read it, what do you want them to walk away with? What is the core of your message in those two books?
Good regardless. There's a scripture that the Apostle Paul talks about where he says he's good, whether he's abound or abased. You know, no matter what else is going on. If things are going well, you're good. If things are going bad, you wish it'd be better, but you're still good. You have to stay good and solid and grounded in who you are and in your oneness with God. And I think that's the main message, good regardless, that we can be good no matter by saying being good, I mean being okay. We're all right. You know, all is well, regardless of the situation around us. And boy, we get ourselves into such serious, unpleasant situations, but there is a way that we can still remain good and you can go beyond that.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you say that, you know, because we make mistakes. You know, the first thing I remember, the first lesson I had with this, one of my mentors was a man by the name of Warren Meyer, and one of the things he said, no matter what, if you can only forgive yourself, you know, because you are a good person, but sometimes you kind of miss the mark.
Yes.
You know, you made a mistake. It means a mistake. Take it over again.
Yes.
Maybe you could do it better. But you have to forgive yourself. You have to love yourself. And it's very, very interesting. It doesn't mean that the behavior is acceptable. But the idea of, okay, you know, if I would have known better, I would have done better, so I'm going to forgive myself.
Exactly.
So I think that's very important, and also understanding the great, beautiful mystery we live in.
You use the term miss the mark, which is what sin is. Sin, S-I-N, just means missing the mark.
Right.
You know, it's not, you don't have to be punished and burned forever and, you know, sent to hell. Because we miss the mark. We all miss the mark sometimes. Yeah.
But then we can always just go back. It's like the road. There's always, you know, sometimes you go on the wrong road.
Uh-huh.
You're looking for a house. You're going to go visit a friend. You go, you turn around, you take another road, and then you find yourself. But you have to be able to say, oh, I missed my friend's house. I'm so stupid. You know, instead of doing that, just go think.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the end of the segment. I'm telling you, it's really, really quickly. And there's two last questions I have with you. And you have two books here, and I want to know, are they a sequence? That's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, where can we find the book? You know, and last words, anything that you'd like to tell the audience, anything from your heart, just it's your turn.
Okay.
Sequence?
Okay, yes. The second book is called Good Regardless, A Metaphysical Love Story Sequel. So it just adds the word sequel to the title, the other one, because I had this one book in my head, the first one, for probably 15 years before I wrote it. I shared the idea with a friend, and she's a teacher, and she's like, you absolutely have to write the book. So it's the only book I thought I was going to write. But then after
What gave you the oomph to listen to her?
Oh, she's been my best friend since we were 7 years old.
She said, go for it.
And she's so brave. She's always, like, accompanied me in things that I was afraid. Even when I went to Sacramento to take the boards for nursing, she came with me. You know, she'd go with me to different parties and stuff because she's so brave. Yeah.
What's her name?
Lorena Holmes.
Hi, Lorena.
So, Let me see, where were we?
We were talking about, you know, that they've met the sequel.
Yes.
Also where people can get the book.
Yes.
And what you want them to walk away with.
Okay. So because everybody liked the first book and we're saying, what's going to happen? You know, so I thought, oh, I have to write another one. And so that's where the sequel came from, because people wanted to know what else happened in their life, just like how you asked me. And so you can get my books on Amazon, and you can also get them on my website, and it's called litnurse.com, litnurse.com. And you could email me at Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at litnurse.com.
And what do you want them to walk away with?
I think you've run this theme through this whole session, and it's, you are good, you are worthy, you are beautiful. You know, so hold on to that, know that. I believe that God lives within each and every one of us and in each and everything, omnipresent. He's constantly present. So tap into that gift and into yourself and just be good regardless.
Well, Dr. Andrea Hall, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. It's been a real, real journey just speaking with you and being able to speak about a wonderful topic that I personally love. So thank you so much, and much, much success with all that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. And to my listeners, a reminder, you know, that no matter what, or no matter what you hear, no matter who you hear, you can always find out all the information on www.womenspaces.com. And also, as I do at the end of shows, every show I remind you over and over again, we as women, we bring forward life. Our children are the future. We must never, never lose sight of that and how important it is to invest in them. You know, they are the future. And they're little miracles when you start thinking about it. When you think about, like Andrea was talking about, from birth to conception, it is just a miracle. And it's also a great mystery. We're all living in the great mystery. And I think if we appreciate that and we begin to understand that, and we understand another thing that's very important that came out in today's conversation, no matter what, we are good. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And I really, really look forward to being with you the next time. And once again, a reminder, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 25th, 2024.